Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, here we go. The fake, phony moderates are already coming out of the woodwork. Man, I just had to send this post out on X just a few minutes ago here. I saw, so Bob Brigham, he's a far left guy. He's a little wild on X, but he's a nice guy. You know, I've had coffee with him before and everything. Gets a little crazy with his anti-cop, crazy Gaza stuff. But, you know, he's a leftist, so that's kind of what you expect from the leftists anymore. But he really is a nice guy. He was, really close with former Democrat Governor Brian Schweitzer. But anyway, he was making an interesting point on X. So there's a guy who apparently wants to run as a Democrat for Congress in the Western Congressional District next year. And, you know, he's another nice dress sweater boy, you know, that you see at some of these left-wing town hall meetings right now. And anyway, you know, they're very elitist looking. But I'm sure he's a nice enough guy, too. But he's out there saying, well, the Republican Party is just moving too far to the right. Really? Like, you've got RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard who have joined the Republican Party now, essentially. And you're claiming the Republicans have moved too far to the right. But the point that Bob was making as a leftist Democrat is he's like, hey, you can't have some wimpy candidate for the Democrats for Congress in the next election cycle. That's just proven to lose time and time again, because they just have been proven to lose to Congressman Ryan Zinke time and time again. So anyway, Bob is saying, no, you have to have, you know, one of the Bernie bros. You got to have one of the Bernie AOC rallier types as their Democrat candidate. But anyway, the point that needs to be made here is that, look, whether Bob thinks they need a far left type, activist type, or whether somebody else thinks they need somebody who appears to be more of a moderate type, here's the point. Some guy in Bozeman pretending to be a moderate, anybody running and choosing to put a D behind their name right now, given how radical that party is no moderate. They are a phony. They should not be trusted. I mean, that's just, I know we all want to be nice and, oh, well, maybe this guy's different. Maybe he's different. Maybe he's better than the last one. Maybe he is a moderate. He claims to be a moderate. How many of these fake, phony moderates have you seen run as Democrats here in Montana? Mike Cooney pretended to be a nice guy for a long time. We saw how not nice that guy really was when he lost the governor's race and during the COVID-19 craziness. That guy was a fake nice guy his entire career. He was just a back-slapping politician who would come around and smile and wave and pretend to be a nice guy. And then he was one of the biggest jerks during COVID-19. And then John Tester, he was no moderate. But boy, the media tried to prop him up. That's why I say, anybody running with a D behind their name right now, you are embracing the crazy, you know, men and women sports party, the crazy illegal alien party.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the area today, a few isolated afternoon showers or thunder showers are possible. High temperature readings will range from 63 in Bozeman to around 70 in Billings. For tonight, isolated shower chance early, otherwise clear to partly cloudy. Upper 30s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in Billings. Then we'll see some sun Thursday with highs from the lower to middle 70s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
Meeting recruiting goals has been a problem for the U.S. Army recently, but not this year. Army leaders stated during an expo in Washington, D.C. Monday, this year's goals have already been met. Army Chief of Staff General Randy George.
We'll meet our mission this week. So, you know, close to 61,000 for our mission, and then continue. These are some of the best recruiting months that we have ahead of us.
General George is also impressed with the recruits' level of technical expertise.
You give them something, and they'll tell you if it works, if it doesn't, what it need, you know, what needs to be adjusted to make it better.
Army Secretary Dan Driscoll says retention goals have also already been met, just halfway through the calendar year.
They're deciding, do they spend their lives with you? Do they bet their life on you?
The Army has not met its recruiting goals this early in a year since 2014. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, hey, we should probably start with a correction or a clarification here, because we always want to make sure that accurate information is being put out there, that accurate information is being reported. So yesterday, I still think the commentary portion stands. I still think this is a massive political scandal because you've got a Supreme Court justice, well, four Supreme Court justices, essentially, led by Justice Lori McKinnon. Man, what a train wreck she turned into. They basically are arguing that they should be able to, in every case now, shove money into the pockets of their political supporters and fund these activist groups that are filing these absurd lawsuits that they then rule on behalf of, the very same groups and organizations that prop up their political campaigns to run for the Supreme Court in the first place. And then they give them a bunch of money. They give them a bunch of your money through taxpayer money. But here's the clarification on this story. It was a Montana Free Press story. Supreme Court's opinion on legal fees spirals into claims of political bias was the story that we talked about yesterday on the show. Anyway, I did a post on X where I was, you know, calling this out for what a massive political scandal this is, where these far-left Supreme Court justices want to shove cash into the pockets, your cash, by the way, into the pockets of the far-left activist groups that basically prop up their political campaigns here. So now Jake Eaton, and we quoted him on another story yesterday, Jake Eaton, a conservative political campaign consultant, jumped in on X, and he said this, something to the effect of, let me see if I can pull up the actual tweet for you here, the actual post, because I still haven't organized my show prep yet this morning, but let me scroll down here. He made a very good point that, oh yeah, here we go. He says, what's funny but not surprising is that the Montana Free Press incorrectly reported the story. The ruling remands the case back to district court to have the fee award decided under the new standard that the Supreme Court invented. It doesn't actually award the Democrat groups any fees, but it does send it back to the district court to have the fee award decided under this new standard that they now created. So, yes, yeah, still, I would say still stands as just a massive scandal, where they're basically creating this brand new, out of nowhere framework to stuff cash into the pockets of their political supporters. So anyway, yeah, but thanks to Jake Eaton for giving out a little bit more accurate information, because, yeah, the way that Free Press story was written, it certainly appeared that they actually made the ruling. But either way, they did create this framework to now allow for that to happen moving forward. Okay, let's see. Lots to talk about here this morning, almost too much to talk about here today. Luckily, we don't have a bunch of guests lined up to join us on the show today. That means you get to be our guest. You get to call in and jump in on the conversation, because there is so much to get to here this morning. Let's see. Senator Tim Sheehy, Montana's Senator Tim Sheehy, not only a Navy SEAL veteran, but also an aerial firefighter. As a freshman senator, he's already getting legislation across the finish line. Got a press release yesterday afternoon. Senator Tim Sheehy's bipartisan Aerial Firefighting Enhancement Act is headed to President Donald J. Trump's desk after passing the House of Representatives on Tuesday. The bill, introduced by Senator Sheehy in January alongside Senator Marty Heinrich out of New Mexico, strengthens the wildfire suppression fleet and ensures the United States can better combat the year-round threat of catastrophic wildfire. The bill passed the Senate unanimously back in April. But here is Senator Tim Sheehy on X.
And we just pull away from the Capitol now. Our very first bill from our office just passed through the House, the Aerial Firefighting Enhancement Act. This is a bipartisan effort through the House and the Senate. The goal of this legislation was to streamline our aerial firefighting fleet to make sure that excess military equipment could be acquired and put into service for our aerial firefighting community. Super proud to have gotten this bill through. It's my first full bill. It's heading to the president's desk next week. We'll get that thing signed into law. Another tool in the toolbox to make sure we're better ready to protect our communities from wildfire. This is a huge win for the entire wildland firefighter community. We got a lot more progress coming, more bills coming, and more changes coming from the administration. But this is going to put the safety of our communities first. Incredibly proud of this. Thanks for everyone's help.
All right, there you go. So that is headed to the president's desk, expected to get signed into law. He was Senator Sheehy was also on Fox Business talking about one big beautiful bill and then another bill that he's got in the works right now to help our troops out there in the field. Hey, let's go into the phone lines. We got Steve in Ballantyne. Steve, what's on your mind this morning?
Morning, Aaron. Well, I had a little chuckle yesterday. They're apparently going to rename a ship, a military ship. It was named after some gay rights activist, I guess. And
Child molester. Child molester actually might be the better description of that. Yeah.
So anyway, the left keeps pushing hard and we're just pushing harder back. But it said they haven't chosen a name yet. And I'm just going to put that out there. I've got two choices. Probably the first one probably never happened. But how about we just name it Let's Go Brandon? Or better yet, let's just put Donald J. Trump on it.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of – it's the Harvey Milk that they're changing the name of the ship. And, yeah, what would be a good name for it? It's probably a smaller ship. So I think Donald J. Trump's going to need a whole carrier. I mean, maybe the whole freaking fleet, right, could be named after Donald Trump, given everything he's doing. All right. Steve, great to hear from you. Sorry to cut it short. Got to get to the Farm and Ranch Report. By the way, I've got a Farm and Ranch Report of my own. Did you hear about the Chinese students and what they were trying to bring into the country?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The essence of economic thinking is that incentives matter. Behavior that is rewarded tends to happen, and that which is penalized doesn't, and policy should recognize that. But what to do when incentives pull us in different directions? Consider patents and patent law. Patents create monopolies. If I patent something, you can't use it without paying me. Monopolies are bad. They push prices up and impose limits on production. But if we don't let inventors get a return on their innovation, they'll produce less of it, and we all suffer from that loss. And so we limit the duration of patents, typically to 20 years. Most of us encounter that limit when we purchase drugs, with the appearance of generic substitutes usually bringing prices down. But we have policy incentives to thank for that as well, since the process of copying a drug takes time and resources. That's why the laws grant the first generic drug maker to develop a successful copy, 180-day mini-monopoly over that product. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Cameron Hamilton is no longer the acting head of FEMA, but he was when he headed to Capitol Hill on May 7th to testify about the Federal Emergency Management Agency. But as Hamilton went to Capitol Hill, he cleaned out his desk. He knew he would soon be fired. And even on the morning of his testimony, FEMA revoked his security pass. Other officials warned Hamilton that he needed to cancel his testimony to lawmakers. He didn't. Hamilton told lawmakers he opposed the way the Trump administration was trying to dismantle the agency. President Trump's allies believe Hamilton Hamilton did not fully support the administration's approach to FEMA. So Hamilton wasn't fired because of his testimony. He knew before the hearing he would soon be out the door. Hamilton is now a senior advisor at the Department of Education. A spokeswoman for the Education Department said that Hamilton was working on school safety issues and for an influence on university campuses. FEMA coordinates the federal response to natural disasters. A swath of senior executives left, raising further questions about the agency's preparedness for hurricane season. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Got it. Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, President Trump's trade policies continue to dominate the headlines. And here at the Wyoming Cattle Industry Convention in Laramie, NCBA Executive Director of Government Affairs Kent Backus told cattle producers here that there's a huge difference between President Trump and former President Biden's trade agenda.
Yeah, when you look at the last 4 years under President Biden, there were a lot of press releases. There were a lot of, you know, very positive things that were said and, you know, a lot of, press conferences with other countries, but not a lot of action when it comes to opening markets. With President Trump, he said on day one, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to get to work. And now he's actively negotiating with 30 countries to improve access, not only for U.S. beef, but for a lot of U.S. agriculture. That's just not something we saw under the Biden administration.
He says there's a lot riding on these trade deals and that it's a risk worth taking.
It is a fast time on trade policy. We know that it is a big gamble, but it is a risk worth taking because all of our competitors are out there securing competitive market access in emerging markets. The U.S. has been sitting on the sidelines. Well, we're not in the sidelines anymore.
And he explains why trade and these export markets are so important to the U.S. beef cattle industry.
Exports still represent a relatively small part of our overall production. About 85% of what we produce is going to be consumed right here in the U.S. But that 15%, a lot of those are cuts that Americans are just not looking for at the grocery store or restaurants. And we're able to sell those in Asia, Latin America, and that adds $415 per head. So that's significant. And when that means that those carcasses are more profitable, that means that those cattle in the feedlots are more profitable, and those profits flow all the way back to the cow-calf operation. We need more global consumers competing for U.S. beef, and that improves the bottom line for everybody in the supply chain.
Meanwhile, as President Trump's trade war continues with key trading partners, the USDA is projecting no improvement in the U.S. agricultural trade outlook for fiscal 2025, as the department this week lowered its forecast for livestock product exports, offsetting increases for grains and oilseeds. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
There's a kind of quiet that tells you you're in the right place. It's waking up with the windows open. The smell of rain sneaking in before the sun. It's the way the birds chirp a little louder in the morning. The feeling you get when the fire's burned low and there's nothing left to do but sit and breathe. Some folks spend their whole lives chasing places like this. We just call it home. Explore your state at visitmt.com.
Attention landowners, the Conservation Reserve program is now open. CRP is a great option for those hard-to-farm acres. In fact, CRP improves soil, water, and wildlife habitat. It also safeguards against risky weather and catastrophic wildfire. All that adds up to a better bottom line for your farm or ranch. The CRP sign-up is going on now. Find a local Pheasants Forever biologist at pheasantsforever.org/CRP or visit your local USDA service center. Farm the best, CRP the rest.
Well, according to a criminal complaint filed in federal court on Monday, two Chinese nationals, including a scholar at the University of Michigan, were arrested for allegedly smuggling a pathogen into the U.S. that's known to be destructive to corn, wheat, rice, and barley crops. Read more at westernagnetwork.com. I'm Russell Nimitz.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, what was that, Russell? What was that about Chinese, the communist Chinese, trying to smuggle dangerous biological pathogens into the country that could, kill off a lot of wheat? for you wheat farmers out there. Oh, the Democrats keep telling us, China's not bad. Don't worry about China. Illegal immigration, people bring it. But by the way, I just saw that two cases of measles have now been confirmed in Yellowstone County. You've had measles cases confirmed in Gallatin County. You've had measles cases confirmed in Flathead County. Now you've got a couple of measles cases confirmed in Yellowstone County. You know, before Joe Biden, John Tester, and the Democrats opened up our borders, we didn't really have all these problems with the measles. What other problems were allowed into this country deliberately by that regime? I mean, my goodness, the way the Democrat Party is bending over backwards to defend these illegal aliens, or, you know, communist Chinese students coming here to be spies but operating as students under student visas. Boy, the Democrats and their corrupt buddies at Harvard don't want to see that reined in at all. But yeah, FBI Director Kash Patel shared this yesterday. I was like, whoa. He says, I can confirm that the FBI arrested a Chinese national within the United States who allegedly smuggled a dangerous biological pathogen into the country. That was part of my farm and ranch report. So Russell teed that up very well for you. The other farm and ranch report that I wanted to share with you here this morning, where did I put it? This was a Bloomberg News story. Oh, yeah, here we go. It's right in front of me. Of course. U.S. farm sentiment is at a four-year high as President Trump seeks trade deals. American farmers' sentiment has reached its highest level in 4 years, driven by optimism about rising crop exports as the Trump administration pursues new trade deals with countries like Vietnam and Italy. According to the Bloomberg report, the surge in confidence reflects farmers' expectations of increased market access and favorable trade policies under President Trump's leadership. Look at the UK deal alone. That's expected to boost U.S. agricultural exports by $250 million. Anyway, isn't that interesting? U.S. farm sentiment at four-year high as Trump seeks trade deals. It's not what we heard from these Democrat Party front group farm groups. You know who I'm talking about. You know the ones who were propping up Joe Biden while he was, while he made America become a net importer of farm products for the first time ever. That happened under his tenure. And you had one Democrat front group farm group in particular that was propping up Biden, giving Biden props. And then at the same time, trying to attack and throw shade on President Trump's efforts to fight for American farmers and ranchers and manufacturers. And look at that. Well, apparently we hear where the farmers sit, how the farmers. One big, beautiful bill. I liked Caroline Levitt's response. She was asked about, is President Trump going to be mad about what Elon Musk had to say about the one big beautiful bill? She had a great response. I'll try to share that here in just a couple of minutes. The other thing I want to share with you is Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. He was on Fox News with Bill Hemmer yesterday talking about that one big beautiful bill as well and whether or not they will get the job done by the July 4th deadline in the United States Senate. So we'll get to that. But here's the other farm and ranch report that I wanted to share with you here this morning. So, yeah, I mentioned FBI Director Kash Patel talking about this Chinese national who is alleged to have smuggled a dangerous fungus called, I'm probably going to get the pronunciation wrong here, but I'm going to try, Fusarium graminearum, which is an agro-terrorism agent, into the U.S., to research at the University of Michigan, where she works. This fungus can cause a disease called head blight, which is a disease of wheat, barley, maize, and rice, causing significant health issues in both humans and livestock. It is responsible for billions of dollars in economic losses worldwide each year. Evidence also indicates that Yunqing Jian had expressed loyalty to the Chinese Communist Party and had received funding from the Chinese government for similar work on this pathogen in China. Her boyfriend is also charged in the complaint, works at a Chinese university where he conducts research on the same pathogen. Liu is alleged to have first lied, then admitted to also smuggling Fusarium graminearum into America through the Detroit Metro Airport so that he, too, could conduct research at the University of Michigan. Both individuals have been charged with conspiracy, smuggling goods in the United States, false statements, and visa fraud. FBI Director Kash Patel says this case is a sobering reminder that the CCP is working around the clock to deploy operatives and researchers to infiltrate American institutions and target our food supply, which would have grave consequences, putting American lives and our economy at serious risk. He says your FBI will continue working tirelessly to be on guard against it. So, they worked in conjunction with Customs and Border Protection on this investigation as well. But, yeah, you know, just look at the China spy balloon that was hovering over our heads here in Montana, spying on our nuclear facilities and more. And you had people like Congressman Ryan Zinke. I believe he was the first to say, shoot it down. And the Democrats minimized it, pretended it was no big deal, allowed the thing to fly all the way across the country. And then these fake phony moderates like John Tester, when they finally figured out how pissed off Montanans were about it, then they tried to sound tough on it, right? After their whole spy operation had already been, you know, mission complete and on the other side of the East Coast. So that's why when you get some new fake phony moderate rise up, just don't trust anything they say.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, good. Thanks to our producer, Caden Dornstead, for snagging that audio of our conversation with Representative Braxton Mitchell out of Columbia Falls. We were talking about one of his bills yesterday on the show, but we're going to be talking about another one of his bills later this morning in our statewide 9 o'clock hour of the show. We're going to have Montana's Commissioner of Political Practices join us here on the program. A couple of headlines dealing with that conversation. I think this was featured in the Washington Examiner. It's actually a Center Square report. Watchdogs warn that new Montana law restricting foreign money in elections is insufficient. I think I first saw an article, it was either Daily Wire or Daily Signal or something, that said, yeah, hey, Montana recently became the sixth state this year to pass a ban on foreign spending on ballot measures. But watchdog organizations, however, say that the state's new law is inadequate. And we actually had that. I actually asked that question. We were talking with Representative Braxton Mitchell probably a couple weeks ago now, and I threw that question at him. I said, hey, by the way, you were the author of this bill, but then a handful of Republicans teamed up with the Democrats to water it down. And what's the deal there? And so I want to play a little bit more of that particular conversation with Braxton Mitchell. I'll save that for the 7 o'clock hour of the show, because that will tee up and remind me of some, you know, things to talk about later on in our interview with the Commissioner of Political Practices. Because the bottom line is that basically he thinks that the Commissioner of Political Practices has some authority already that can help in the wake of, you know, the amendments that watered down this bill. And anyway, we'll get to that later this morning. What about one big beautiful bill? One big beautiful bill. Caroline Leavitt was talking about the auto pen investigation. They're looking at all these pardons that were done allegedly by Joe Biden, but may have been some staffers going rogue using the auto pen to issue out thousands of pardons. So Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, was talking about that. And then Peter Ducey asked her about Elon Musk coming out swinging against the one big beautiful bill.
Americans saw with their own eyes a mentally incompetent president, and they want answers for that. And the president believes they should have.
And something that just crossed, Caroline, how mad do you think President Trump is going to be when he finds out that Elon Musk said, I'm sorry, but I just can't stand it anymore. This massive, outrageous, pork-filled congressional spending bill is a disgusting abomination. Shame on those who voted for it. You know you did wrong. You know it.
Look, the president already knows where Elon Musk stood on this bill. It doesn't change the president's opinion. This is one big, beautiful bill, and he's sticking to it.
Yeah, this was a CBS News interview that Elon Musk did. Here's audio of that via CBS on X.
So, you know, I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the Doge team is doing.
I actually thought that when this big, beautiful bill came along, I mean, like, everything he's done on Doge gets wiped out in the first year.
I think a bill can be big, or it can be beautiful. But I don't know if it could be both. My personal opinion.
All right, so anyway, yeah, so the one big beautiful bill, mainly what this tackles is, well, there are significant spending reductions in here. In fact, OMB Director Russ Vought talked about the record $1.6 trillion in mandatory savings. On top of that, look, we have got to fund these deportations, or we don't have a country. And we've got to make the Trump tax cuts permanent. By the way, Rand Paul has also been coming out swinging against the so-called One Big Beautiful Bill as well. And now Stephen Miller, White House Deputy Chief of Staff, I'm trying to find that exact post on X from him. He is now going right after Rand Paul. In fact, actually, I think the president himself is talking about Rand Paul and basically how Rand Paul will never vote for anything, essentially. But anyway, yeah, here's what Stephen Miller had to say. So Rand Paul, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, he said this: Kentuckians sent me here to fight reckless debt. He then says, I will not support a $5 trillion increase to our deficit. Well, that's where Stephen Miller then jumps in. The score, and when he says the score, he's referring to the Congressional Budget Office's calculation, which the Congressional Budget Office is a joke. The Congressional Budget Office will say that if you cut taxes, you're going to cut revenue, which we all know is a bunch of BS, because we've cut taxes three legislative sessions in a row here in Montana. And what happens? We've gotten more revenue. Federal government, when Trump cut taxes, when Reagan cut taxes, what happened? We got more revenue. So the CBS is a joke. The CBS is calculating tax cuts as revenue reduction, claiming that it adds to the deficit, which is total BS. So as much as I admire and respect Rand Paul, why is he running with that type of a calculation? So Stephen Miller says this: the score Rand is citing is the size of the tax cut. The bill slashes spending almost $2 trillion. Stephen Miller then added this: also, why doesn't Rand ever fight this hard to deport illegals, was the response from Stephen Miller. All right. Either way, I think we all agree that we want to see more spending reductions. We're $37 trillion in debt. And so I think we appreciate, you know, the sentiment of Rand or the sentiment of Musk as well. But that's exactly why Speaker Johnson is saying, look, after the one big beautiful bill is done delivering these policy priorities, that's when these rescission packages come through. That's when the appropriation comes in to peel back and claw back even more of this spending as well. So you can't let the perfect be the enemy of progress here. But it is important. I mean, to their point, it is important that we keep the focus on spending reductions here. Let's see. Before I get to what Senator Sheehy had to say about the one big beautiful bill, let's just do a big picture on everything Trump is doing with regard to the economy right now. Sean Hannity had Stephen Moore from the Committee to Unleash Prosperity on his program last night. Listen to how Sean Hannity summarizes what is going on with the economy right now.
So despite endless hysteria from the left, the Trump economy is booming. In April, job openings rose to a shocking 7.4 million. Inflation fell more than expected to just 2.1%. Oh, that's the lowest number in years. Oh, that's the Fed's magic number to lower interest rates. Oh, Jerome Powell, I hope you're watching. Time to lower interest rates. And on top of all this positive news, the Atlanta Fed, highly respected, now projecting second quarter GDP growth will reach a staggering 4.6%. Now, with President Trump securing one victory after another, it is no surprise his approval rating is soaring. Look at this new Trafalgar. That's Robert Kahaly. His poll out today. Trump is 8 points above water with an approval rating of nearly 54%. And that's following his historic Middle East trip. An insider advantage poll had his approval at 55%, 11 points on the positive side.
All right, and then, of course, he got reaction live on air from Stephen Moore.
This is an amazing story. It didn't happen by accident. By the way, it doesn't seem just like about a month ago, the media was saying we're headed to a second Great Depression because of Donald Trump. So it's been an amazing turnaround. And I would attribute this to three factors. Number one, you've got a pro-business president, a pro-America, pro-business president. And that is a very reassuring thing for America's small businesses and our employers. Number two, you've got this big tax cut that is like rocket fuel for the economy. And Donald Trump is going to get this done. And I want to salute Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, who got that through the House. Now the Senate has to do their job. Now, do I love that bill? No, I don't love it. But it's extremely important for the economy that they get this done. And then third of all, and I, as you know, Sean, I'm not a big fan of the tariffs that Trump has put in place, but he is one after another getting these trade deals done. And that has had a very positive impact on the overall economy and the market. So this is a beautiful picture right now. It's almost like Donald Trump. Think about this. Since COVID hit, you know, the American economy has been kind of in a slumber. It's been kind of comatose. And all of a sudden, it's almost like the animal spirits of the economy have reawakened, and I love this picture. I just think it's fantastic.
Yeah, great summary there by Stephen Moore, and of course, there's Sean Hannity leading into it as well. You know, hey, yesterday I dropped in. I got to see our friends over at Billings Last Diet. I'm really excited. You know, we've been talking about food and food supply. Well, I got a brand new supply of food. I picked up a box of they're called Ranch Dorados. They taste so good. They look like potato chips. They taste like potato chips. They got a really good ranch seasoning on them, but they're protein chips. I can't remember if it's 15, 20 grams of protein in it, very low carb, next to no sugar, if any sugar at all whatsoever. Man, really good snacks. That's why I always look forward to going in. And here's the other thing. You know, I actually burned fat and lost weight during the last month. And I wasn't even doing a tune-up. I was just taking what I learned from Billings Last Diet and tightening things up on my own. Check out BillingsLastDiet.com.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The idea that the European Union charges us a 10% tax on every automobile that is American made that is sold in the European Union countries, and add to that a 20% VAT tax, value added tax, national sales tax. Well, that's 30% above sticker price. And that's why they're selling 10 cars, foreign cars in America, to every one car sold in America. And Donald Trump was able to garner the world's attention. And then we saw the deal with Great Britain. We saw the deal with China, although apparently China is violating aspects of that deal that has to be renegotiated. We expect deals with India. I expect a deal eventually with the European Union.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. You know, crime continues to go up. Violence is happening in small towns and big cities all around the country. That means that you need something on you at all times. Now, Byrna, BYRNA, they want you to conceal everywhere you go, and that's why they made their brand new compact launcher, touted as the world's smallest, less lethal pistol launcher. Now, it's the same size as a smartphone with the firepower that you will need to stop an attacker right in their tracks. Now, it's equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammunition. It's designed to incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. Now, the compact launcher is perfect for women that want protection but don't want to carry a firearm. And if you're traveling this summer, well, Byrna is legal in all 50 states. Byrna requires no background check. It can be shipped directly to your door. And Byrna is proudly American. Each unit hand-assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Go to Byrna, BYRNA.com today. Or try, before you buy, find a Byrna dealer partner near you. That's BYRNA.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman.
With some sunshine across the area today, a few isolated afternoon showers or thunder showers are possible. High temperature readings will range from 63 in Bozeman to around 70 in Billings. For tonight, isolated shower chance early, otherwise clear to partly cloudy. Upper 30s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in Billings. Then we'll see some sun Thursday with highs from the lower to middle 70s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Montanans might get mad if they see motorcycles doing this on the roadways. We've got that story at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, a new law addresses what's fair from the air when you're hunting in Montana. I think it's a drone story. And PETA responds following their staged events protesting a barbecue joint in Great Falls and then some downtown Billings restaurants as well. It's actually a pretty good response. You got to check it out, MontanaTalks.com, or get the app on your smartphone.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, Russ. Russ in Billings. We're going to have more on this story. We talked about it yesterday, but we're going to have more on this story here later this morning. In fact, I did reach out. I don't know if we got a response yet. I shot a note to Missoula City Council member Sandy Vasica. She was one of just two votes that voted against this nonsense. But anyway, Russ in Billings says this. Good morning. I see Missoula has finally stooped to another new low and got themselves an official city flag. And then he said, what a bunch of something heads. I don't get the reference. Maybe it was a typo. But anyway, you get the point. So, yeah, Russ, thanks for that message. Governor Greg Gianforte took a shot at the far-left Missoula City Council. Former Missoula City Council member Jesse Ramos had a great post on X as well. We'll get to that coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. But first, Tim Sheehy on Fox News yesterday with Bill Hemmer talking about one big beautiful bill.
I don't know if you're a betting man or not, but what are the odds it gets done by 7-4-25?
I think we'll get it done. It's going to be a wrestling match, but, you know, Speaker Johnson got it through by Memorial Day. Everyone said that wasn't going to happen. They got it done. We're going to do the same over here at the Senate. And I think it's important to remember what this bill is and what it is not. This is not an omnibus spending bill. This is not authorizing multiple years of government spending. What this is doing is a targeted bill to focus on making the tax cuts permanent from 2017, to stabilize our tax code and give predictability to businesses and individuals. And it's providing unprecedented funding for border security and rebuilding our military, which are two critical areas, not only the president campaigned on, but the American people have been very clear they want to see those areas addressed. In addition to infrastructure investment, like FAA upgrades to ATC, which are sorely, sorely needed.
Okay, I'm seeing a rub by Ron Johnson. He's been quite public about it. Josh Hawley on Medicaid as well. And here's Rand Paul giving his licks, too. Watch.
Well, increases the debt ceiling by $5 trillion. This will be the largest increase in the debt ceiling ever in our history. And we've never raised the debt ceiling without actually meeting that target. So you can say it doesn't directly add to the debt, but if you increase the ceiling $5 trillion, you'll meet that. And what it does is it puts it off the back burner, and then we won't discuss it for a year or two. So I think it's a terrible idea to do this.
I don't think you can get Rand Paul to a yes. Maybe you can get others, but I think what? You can lose three at the moment.
Yeah, that might be like Mission Impossible 9, the movie, is get Rand Paul to vote yes on a budget bill. But I think ultimately we're going to get there. This is going to be a tremendous fiscal responsibility step in the right direction. It's not perfect. I'd love to see more cuts. I'd love to see more focus on reducing our deficit and finally getting us towards a way where we can balance the budget and start knocking down our national debt so we're not passing on a generational albatross to our children. But this starts curbing that spending curve. You know, the last 4 years, we've seen an unprecedented explosion in federal government growth and spending. I mean, almost a 60% growth in federal spending through those years of COVID, from the American Rescue Plan and the ridiculously entitled Inflation Reduction Act. We've seen an unprecedented explosion in federal spending. So we're starting to take care of that. We're going to start digesting that and getting ourselves back on track. But it's going to be a multi-step process.
All right. They also talked about his firefighting. Actually, no, not the firefighting bill. They talked about a bill that he has to save money at the Department of Defense and to help our U.S. military troops when they're out in the field. We'll save that one for later on this morning as well here. Caroline Leavitt
you know, the Congressional Budget Office, you can't rely on the CBO. They will use tax cuts against us and claim that it adds to the deficit, which is a total joke.
It is. Those senators, it's not news that they disagree with this president on policy. And the president has vocally called them out for it and for their not having their facts together. I would add the Congressional Budget Office has been historically wrong. In fact, they predicted the Trump tax cuts from the president's first term in 2017. Their prediction was wrong by $500 billion. Those tax cuts had nearly $500 billion more of revenue than the Congressional Budget Office scored. And I would also point out, I don't think many people know this, there hasn't been a single staffer in the entire Congressional Budget Office that has contributed to a Republican since the year 2000. But guess what? There have been many staffers within the Congressional Budget Office who have contributed to Democrat candidates and politicians.
Yeah, big surprise there, right? All right, a big hour coming up. Stand by. Phone lines are open as well.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The essence of economic thinking is that incentives matter. Behavior that is rewarded tends to happen, and that which is penalized doesn't, and policy should recognize that. But what to do when incentives pull us in different directions? Consider patents and patent law. Patents create monopolies. If I patent something, you can't use it without paying me. Monopolies are bad. They push prices up and impose limits on production. But if we don't let inventors get a return on their innovation, they'll produce less of it, and we all suffer from that loss. And so we limit the duration of patents, typically to 20 years. Most of us encounter that limit when we purchase drugs, with the appearance of generic substitutes usually bringing prices down. But we have policy incentives to thank for that as well, since the process of copying a drug takes time and resources. That's why the laws grant the first generic drug maker to develop a successful copy, 180-day mini-monopoly over that product. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.